there was no backing out. My son was like, "Mom, you need to be brave. You keep telling, you're a coach, man. Like, you tell people to be brave all the time, and you want to back out of this." And I'm like, "Yeah, point taken, mate. Yeah, thanks for showing me that." So
using my own words against me.
Yeah. And I was like, here I was thinking he wasn't listening. I thought he had no clues what I did. But anyway. Welcome to the Wild Roads. I'm Shona Lee.
And I'm Paula Ivy. Join us for conversations about how we don't do stuff normal.
How we choose the wild roads of life. We want to show you all that's fun and possible, building businesses, making money,
navigating relationships and parenting, things we nerd out about,
and running at our wildest dreams. All right, sister. Two or three. What are your biggest fears?
I did have a really big fear for a long time that kind of like... I don't have it anymore, but it was definitely something that was a big, like, it used to affect my nervous system bad, and it was like I would get panic attacks from it. It's really weird. And it's
going to freak me out. Am I going to get scared?
You might think differently of me. When I was younger, and I'll say, I actually think that having children actually helped me get over this fear. Because we had a doula when I was pregnant and through the labor and through the birth and stuff, and she did a lot of hypnobirthing with me. So I found that, like, after having kids, like, my whole nervous system was just so much calmer. So I think that had a lot to do with it. But then also was kind of forced to face this fear when I had kids.
Oh, my God. Yeah, what is it? You don't
want to
say it. What's going on?
It's so weird. I'm kind of embarrassed.
Just say it.
I had a fear of other people's feet.
What? What?
Like, other people's feet just freaked me out. And I would go into a full-blown panic attack if anybody ever put their feet anywhere near me. And like, it was something that I didn't really tell people about, obviously, because it's freaking weird.
I'm not gonna make fun of you, but like, how do you fear this? Like, what are they gonna do to you?
Because they're gross.
Yeah,
but it can be weird and gross. I'm okay with them now. Like, I'm not a big fan of other people's feet. If somebody puts their feet on me, I'm like, get them off me. But I don't have like a panic attack with them now.
Because you can't avoid them.
No, can't avoid little kids' feet now. I don't know. It just, they would freak me out. And like, friends of mine who knew that I had this fear, sometimes they would play with me and they'd be like, Paula, and they'd like wave their foot around. Oh, like, yeah. These, and I'll be like, ah, put it away, like, go away from these sort of thing. And yeah,
That's cool. That's kind of like, mate, doing nothing normal. This is Paula being like, okay, I'm gonna have a fear, right? But I'm gonna choose, I'll choose feet, that'll do.
I didn't choose it, but I it was just something that, like, if somebody put their foot near me, I'd be just like, get it away. Feet are weird. But yeah, I feel like doing the hypnobirthing, because before hypnobirthing, I used to freak out whenever we'd go flying, not because of being in a plane. It was because I couldn't get out of the plane.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm confined to this little small seat and I can't get off the plane. And I felt like I'd have panic attacks. So I used to have amazing little pills that I used to take on flights. But then since kids, like, I'm fine now. But I think also current fears, so many came up before we started traveling Australia. Like, I had fears that, like, and I mean, like, when I say fears, like, these thoughts would come to me and I would just, like, break out into a cold sweat and have, like, you know, just I couldn't deal. I was just like, nah. Like, it almost stopped me from wanting to do the trip, because I was like, I would have dreams of like my kids falling off cliffs. Like, this is horrible.
Oh, and, like, yeah.
I'd wake up before the end because I don't know if this is a stupid system. Like, I don't know if this is superstitious or not, yes. But seeing the person's dead body in a dream means that they're going to die. I never got to that. Like, yeah. I heard of that when I was a kid. But I had a few dreams where, that especially they'd fallen off cliffs and been eaten by crocodiles. And I was there's so many crocodiles in Australia. Like,
yeah, exactly. And we get so close to them too. Like, we're visiting the rivers. They're right there, you know.
And you're camping and all of the things. Like, you try and be safe, but, I mean, you never know. You're in the wild.
It's not, I shouldn't say it. You just don't know.
No. So, anyway, that's enough embarrassing stuff about me. What about you? What have you got?
It's not even embarrassing. My fears are, I never used to have this fear until my brother moved to North Queensland. I used to visit North Queensland all the time, like I'm talking, you know, in the tropics to Cairns and stuff, and not even think about this. And then one day I watched this show, like I heard about overseas in like the Amazon and that, and, you know, like these big anacondas and big, you know, snakes, right? Yeah. And I heard, you know, I heard a story about a little boy, which is really bad, that was in a tent with his dad, and his dad woke up to a python had around the little boy's head.
Australia.
So I don't know where that was, but I saw a thing on telly, and in Trinity Beach, the surf club at Trinity Beach, there was two pythons that were massive, and they were living in the roof of the surf club, and they were mating, and so they made a mess, like it was this huge, like they basically, the ceiling of the surf club was just destroyed. Because they were that big, like they were so like 10 meters long, and they were like so fat. And I've just had this massive fear that I'm going to camp or I'm going to be like in North Queensland somewhere and a python's going to try and eat me while I'm asleep. Like, that's a huge fear of mine. I have to really get over that.
Wow.
It's not going to happen, but that's a huge fear. And then,
isn't that funny though? Like, you think about it logically, and you're like, the amount of times that that's actually happened to people, and the chances of it actually happening to you. But the fear is real.
The fear is real. Like, my brother's lived there for like 12, 13 years. He hasn't had a snake in his ceiling the whole time. You know, like,
yeah.
And I mean, they've got snakes in their house anyway. They have pet snakes. They have pythons, like green tree pythons, all different kind of pythons. So they have snakes in their house. So the fear is actually like, I shouldn't really be over it because I stay there. And then, you know, it's fine. Anyway, so there's that. And then there's the fear that, okay, I'm just putting it out there. If anyone's listening and you need to make the decision, I'm being cremated, okay? Because I, when I die.
Right, Sean, we got your back.
You got my back, yeah, good. When I die, I want to be cremated because I have a massive fear that I will be buried and I will wake up and they got it wrong and there's nothing I can get out.
Buried
alive. Oh, my God.
That would be horrendous.
I think I need to put a disclaimer on this episode that if you're driving in the car with the children in the back, maybe don't listen to this one. I'll do that at the start when we upload it. Yeah. And then the third one is, man, this was huge, and this was huge from the weekend, but open water, open ocean, being out at sea, cannot see the shore. Like, you don't know where it is. I'm not a navigator. I don't have a compass. Like, what happens when I'm out there and just no one comes to rescue me and I'm just like in the wild open ocean? It is scary. Like, that scares me big time.
Have you seen that movie?
I'm pretty sure it's called Open Water, about the two scuba divers, and it was based on that true story.
You know, I haven't seen it yet. Oh, my God. I've been meaning to.
Brendan always, my husband, always makes me watch, like, movies that I really don't want to watch. He's like, yeah, he loves shark movies. And I'm like, please stop it with the shark movies. I am scarred for life with shark movies thanks to the 80s. But, like, it's a movie about, yeah, these two scuba divers. It's based on a true story. And they went scuba diving in the Great Barrier Reef.
Yeah.
And the one of them decided last minute they weren't going to go scuba diving. And then they decided after everybody got in the water, yes, they did want to go in or something. And so they got in and the count or something got messed up with how many people were in the water and how many people weren't in the water or something.
Yeah.
So they ended up getting left behind because they thought they had everybody, but they didn't. They left these two people in the water. And, yeah, they never found them, but it's about them, like, what could have possibly happened. And there was, like, sharks and just, like, oh, they were in the water for so long. And the whole movie is just about them in the water, like, just waiting in the water and trying to float to stay alive. And I'm like, what? No.
No.
Like, no. I could not deal in that situation.
My stomach is knotting up just thinking about that.
No.
Oh, my God.
Hard no.
No. No.
Oh, my gosh. So tell us then, Shona Lee, why the hell were you out in open water on the weekend?
Okay. So I actually went out in the open water and it was a yes, and I did go on a boat, and we're 3 hours out. We had to go to a place called Neptune Island. This is in South Australia, where South Australian waters is like South African waters, where we have the great white sharks. And they're massive and it's cold, and, you know, there was a tour and my family thought it was an amazing idea to get us all in so we could just get in with the sharks. Oh my God. And they're just like, yeah, so they booked it and it was fantastic. Like, it was like, that was a really beautiful, generous thing you did for us. Like, it was amazing, you know. My dad's a diver, my brother's a diver, my son wants to be a diver. You know, they just have this fascination with sharks, always have. My brother, you know, my dad had shark books, you know, around the house, and my brother, you know, would be like 3 looking through them. Just love them. I love them. Me, not so much. I was scared. So I was just I didn't
say that so casually, like, I was scared.
I was so scared. I don't need to be with the sharks. Honestly, I just, like, I can look at them through a picture book. That's fine. Anyway, so this trip was booked. And on the weekend, I got in the cage and I was a meter away from a 4 to 5 meter. I don't know exactly. There was a couple of different people saying different things, but 4 to 5 meter shark. And his name was IMAX. Because apparently he comes around every year for the last 14 years. They sort of know him because he's got a mangled tail. So two fears, open water, massive swell, you know, where the swell is like you cannot, like the big wall of water right next to this little boat that's like a sardine can to me. And then, you know, and just cannot see the horizon at all, like, and then you go up and you go, okay, there's still no land, and then you go back down and it's like, you know, that was scaring me. But the sharks, there was no backing out. My son was like, Mum, you need to be brave. You keep telling, you're a coach, man. Like, you tell people to be brave all the time, and you want to back out of this. And I'm like, yeah, point taken, mate. Yeah, thanks for showing me that. So
using my own words against me.
Yeah. And I was like, here I was thinking he wasn't listening. I thought he had no clues of what I did. But anyway, so I went, and then it was pulling up, and I thought they hadn't had sightings for like 3 weeks. And even if they did, they sort of hung around for a minute, and then people would spend the whole day out at this, yeah, you know, in this place trying to, you know, wait it out and hopefully they come. They throw burley and stuff. Mm. Anyway, they stopped the boat and they did the briefing and we were in group one. So my whole family were in group one, eight of us. And they said, all right, go get your wetsuit on and this is what we'll do. And then just as we just got our wetsuits on, someone yelled out, shark! And we're like, oh, no. And then everyone just went flying over to one side of the boat. And I looked down because I was there already. And I looked down and this big shark, like it was, it's like your car going past and it was just under the surface. And it was just going past. And I just went, there's probably some footage that I have taken, but there was a lot of swear words that the camera wasn't on. It was like, O-F-O-F. Like it was like, this is really real. Go.
Well, we'll show some footage of like you packing it beforehand because this, like, I'm so happy that you documented this experience because this is actually something that I had the opportunity to do but didn't, because when we did the lap of Australia, that was one of my husband's bucket list things, was to do the great white shark dive, and I was like, no. No, I'm not. And when they went, he in his group, they didn't see one shark, so he actually got a voucher to go back and do it again, which he has not yet done. And it was kind of like this thing, the day that he went out to do it, I was feeling FOMO and I was like, why do I secretly want to do this? But like my whole body is like going, no, that's dangerous. Like, giant sharks, you in the water. No, don't.
Yeah.
So I feel like now that you've done it, I'm like, it looks so cool when Sean does it. Anyway, we'll show some footage of you getting ready to go into the cage.
It's so unattractive, by the way. So we're walking over to the boat we're about to get on, and it's raining, so it's freezing. Oh, it's not actually, it's not freezing, is it?
No.
It's not freezing at
but
all.
It but it is raining.
It is raining. I'm not as nervous as I was half an hour ago. I think I'm more excited now to get on the boat, which is really, really weird. I think I'm going to go through a roller coaster of stuff like excitement, adrenaline, a bit of a crash. It'd be interesting about the crash because I've been working up to this like for probably a week now, like not sleeping, thinking about all the bad things that can happen, you know, that the boat sinks, we can't swim to shore stuff, you know. I don't know, I'm pumped at the minute. Let's see how this goes. Hey, we're about 20 minutes out, I think, and I had a sleep. I don't know how long I was asleep for, but it was good because I needed it. I was feeling really sick. It wasn't the alcohol that I had last night. I didn't have that much, but anyway, it could have been. But I'm chipper. I'm excited. Cold, I think the nerves are more because I got to get in cold water, like I said this morning. But I've been watching the telly downstairs in the boat and like watching the sharks. It's quite peaceful actually. Video footage of that is making me feel at ease. The cage is huge, very sturdy. Some gaps in there that, you know, if there's littler sharks, they'd get in there, I'm sure. That freaks me out a bit because how do they get out? I will be shitting my pants.
So cool. Oh my god, guys. We've got a shark, it's here, and oh my god, it's beautiful, but shit, I'm scared, it's happening, oh my god, everyone's so excited because there's a shark, and we're the first group to go in, I am packing pants, fuck, it was big, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
How much did you piss your pants?
Oh mate, that was so thrilling, it's oh my god.
Feel how enormous and strong but graceful they are. And yeah, getting back to that, well, I'm so glad I did it. I am absolutely so glad I did it. I'm pumped. Oh, my adrenaline is just full on right now. I got out early because I was struggling to breathe, but I saw it like come by twice. I didn't need to. I felt like, yeah, I've seen it now, I can get out. But these guys who are the divers and, you know, been shark free since I'm born, they just couldn't, they just wanted to stay down there forever. Far out, guys. It's so good.
do it. Do it. If you get a chance to do this, put yourself out of your comfort zone and go.
It was, and leading up to that moment, going into the cage, it was just like, okay, this is really real. I just like, I don't even know myself anymore. You know, what am I doing? My daughter was filming. You probably heard her, but she's like, she was great to capture that. But getting in that cage, the cold water hit me. And so it's hard to breathe with the rest, like with the respirator or whatever it is, you know, just on as well. Like, you know, your mind telling you that it's okay, you can breathe underwater. You know, that's a thing as well that you got to switch on. But when it's cold, you know what it's like when you get into a freezing cold and you lose your breath? You do all these swims in the winter and it just takes your breath away, but it's really hard to control that breathing. So there was that. But then, I'll tell you a little funny thing. I hadn't even got my breathing in rhythm, but my son and my brother were on the corner of the cage where I was, and they were great. And, you know, my brother's a diver, he's a dive master, and he's just like, are you okay? And I'm just like, not yet, you know. So he was still like, he just knows me so well that he was like, I'll just give her a moment. But then all of a sudden, out the corner of my eye, I just saw this huge beast come flying. Just gracefully coming past, and I grabbed my son's arm and just shook it like, there it is. And he like tapped my brother, and there it is. And like they had GoPros and stuff. And it just like its jaws were open and it just went straight past us like that. And I was just like, this body is not ending. It is huge. Like it's massive. And it's so deep, like from the top of its body to its underbelly was just like, that's the size of my car. Like it's
wow,
nuts. Anyway, so obviously I forgot about my breathing at that point. So it must have been okay because I must have got into some kind of rhythm, or I stopped, one or the other. And so, and then I looked out and they must have thrown some burley out. Oh, it was not nice. It was just like guts of stuff, and it was just flying straight at our corner. It was just like just like a bit of something on my face.
Like barely slapping you in the face.
It was. And so and then it just like done this big circle and it went back again. And I was watching it and I just tapped the boys and they were getting it and they were just really loving it. I'm like, okay, I've seen it twice now. I'm going up because it was freezing as well. Yeah. And I was like, I was enjoying it, but I wasn't enjoying it. And then I saw that they threw on a rope this big thing, this massive, I think it's just this big lot of tuna stuff. And, yeah, so they threw that out and I was getting up. And just as I got up, it came and it just did this big roll and like viciously just grabbed this stuff. It did that all day. There was actually three sharks. They ate all day. They came up, they bit it. Sime was in the cage next to a guy on his second dive and the shark bit the cage right next to him.
Oh my God.
He's waiting for the guy to give him the footage. We saw the footage, but the guy, like, I don't know, they just met on the boat. So he's waiting for that guy to friend him on Facebook. He said that he'll send him the footage of that. So it was just like, it just grabbed, just went click, and then jumped off. Oh man. It was like, holy shit, this is far out. And just, yeah, and then, but it's funny, I wasn't panicking underwater. And even after that, I was just like, this is the coolest thing. This was, thank God I did this. And just watching them beside the boat, like just coming around. They were just like big puppy dogs that wanted to, like, chase it and eat a bone, eat a bit of steak that someone's thrown out. You know, that's all it was for me. And that's what they are. And it was just like, I've got total respect for them. Total. Mm. I used to hate them before. Like, I hated them. I didn't believe in the culling of them. It's like their domain.
Yeah.
But now I see them differently. I don't see them as monsters. I don't see them as, you know, that they want to eat the human race. Like, I just know that they're in their domain. We're meat. And, you know, they can't differentiate that. That's their survival. And they were beautiful. Like, I don't see them as ugly anymore. They're so beautiful.
Oh.
So beautiful, yeah. I have a new obsession.
When you were saying, like, how it came past the, like, cage, Do you ever have those moments where, like, you're in a situation and you're like, if I just did this, what would happen? Like, I fear that if I was in that situation, a shark was that close, that I'd want to reach out and touch it. Like, actually, like, just, like, pat it as it would go.
They actually, but it's funny you say that because they did say, do not try to pat it. Do not put your hand outside that cage or it will be gone. Like, seriously. And anyway, we went back to the where we're staying, right? And we're watching the GoPro. So Clint had one, my brother, Harrison had one, my son, and Simon had one, where, my partner, when he was in there the second time. And he tried to do a selfie with the shark, which was hilarious because all you could see was like fish behind him. There was so many fish. He totally missed the shark. That was so funny. But there was like, my brother's like, Simon, I reckon you might have been hand out of the cage here for quite a few times because you could see that he's obviously got excited and got his arm out of the cage with the GoPro. And yeah, because there's footage with no cage in it. And it's just like, oh, Simon goes, oh, yeah, I think I did a couple of times. I had to pull myself back in. Simon. Oh, God. So it's, yeah, I feel like, I reckon Simon, if they hadn't have said that, he probably would have tried to pat it. But, you know, hey, puppy, puppy, like, yeah, no, that, but they do. They say don't even go there because, yeah, there's just, I don't know. It's like, yeah, I didn't need to be down there for half an hour for sure.
Yeah. But that's the thing, like, you said that you didn't want to do it, but then you did it anyway. Are you glad that you did it? Like,
I am so glad I did it. I was on a high for hours. Even the boat ride in, it was a 3-hour boat ride in, and I was standing on the back, big walls of ocean, and I was like, nothing can actually, I'm not scared of anything now. Like, in that moment, I'm like, I don't fear anything. I've got so much trust. I've got so much trust in the people looking after me that are taking us back to shore. I've got trust around me, the people that I love. I've got trust in myself making the decisions. And before that, and I think even on one of our episodes, I did mention about being soul aligned. Like, you know, if I'm scared of doing something because I really want to do it, but I still fear it, I feel like that's when you push past, and that if it's something that you died and you didn't, you know, you don't regret never doing it, then that's a no for me. And I remember talking about that and feeling really, yeah, hell yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, well, I was actually not forced to do it. I could have said no, but there was pressure from my family to do it. And Dad said the night before, Shane, if you don't want to do it, don't worry about it. But, you know, there was, you know, they paid $500 for this ticket for me. You know, it was a gift. And damn straight it was a gift because I pushed past a fear. Yeah, I'm unpacking right now everything about soul aligned because I am so much better for having done what I did on so many levels, not just because I saw a beautiful creature. There's so much that goes with that. So much.
Yeah. If something is not, air quotes, soul aligned for you to do,
that's
it's
right.
Really, like, I think that term is being thrown about as soon as somebody feels discomfort or fear around something. They're like, oh, no, it doesn't feel good, so it's not soul aligned. Whereas
absolutely.
Things that are uncomfortable and things that are pushing you beyond a fear, and you're not supposed to feel good to dive into it, like literally into a shark cave of like shark infested waters with like blood and guts smacking you in the face. coaxing them to come closer.
That's it.
Making you smell like it.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like dressing you up as a dish. But that's the thing, right? Because, like, you're so proud that you did that, and it's been an experience that has shifted something inside of you and helped you to expand and explore in new ways. Like, it's it was a growth experience for you, even though it felt like a no, or it felt like the resistance to that. Like, you're like, I don't like open water. I don't like sharks. Why the hell would I even want to do that?
Yeah.
But it's like things get presented to you in order to help you grow. Like everything happens for a reason. There was a reason why they bought you the ticket without asking and said, here's a gift for you, Sean.
Yeah.
Like there's a reason why that happened and that they didn't ask you first. And even though they said, oh, you don't have to do it, like we just thought it would be cool for all of us to do it together. Like you knew deep down inside, you're like, I really, like my body is saying no to this, or like, you know, my logical brain is saying no to this, but there's something within inside me that's not saying no. So it's not a hard no.
Like
a hard no is not soul aligned. But if it's a no and you're kind of like, yeah, but there's something that kind of is still allowing me to think about this as a possibility, or still mulling this over, even though I've kind of said no, that is like something to unpack, to be like, okay, why is this? Is this because there's fear there and this is an opportunity for me to push past that fear, because that, or work through that fear, because that is not easy and not comfortable to do.
No.
And your psyche knows that. So it's kind of like, this is going to be uncomfortable, but... Yep. Kind of like, it kind of like whispers to you. It's like, yeah, go this way.
Yeah, and you're
like,
nah.
Like, because I don't like that. That's going to be uncomfortable. It's like, yeah, but go this way.
Right. It was very seductive. But it's interesting. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like, okay, I'm going to need to give you some trust here, because you're not buying me a ticket to jump off a cliff to my death. Like, it's not, you know, it's not like 100% guarantee you're going to die. Like, and there was like, there's always a risk to everything in life.
Of course.
You know, it was an adventure. It was a thing that people do every day. It's like, it was something that I feared. It was something very scary. There was a big, big no with inside me and a little yes right there. And the little yes won. And I'm so glad she did. She popped her little voice in and she said, go.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think, like I have been thinking over the last couple of days, was that a mother bear instinct? Was that a lioness instinct to go, hey, if my son's getting in, I need to be in with him? Or was that, you know, I need to show my son and my daughter how brave I actually can be and that I've got their back, you know, that sort of thing. There was that entering into it as well.
Which this totally valid too, because I honestly believe, I can't remember how Julie Tanner says this. She has a beautiful like way of saying this from Nourishing the Mother. They have their own podcast, which is amazing. She talks about how we give birth to like the parts of us that need work. What the people that we give birth to, they are their own unique whole human. I think this is where sometimes we get like, we think that they're part of us and, oh, they're so me and they're so their dad and they're so this person, whatever, in the family, but they're their whole unique person. And part of their journey through life is to help you work through some of the things that you have. You give birth to that.
Yes.
Because I totally believe that like we come from the spirit world and we're all in the right bodies at the right time, surrounded by the right people, and that there's something in, you know, your children that you give birth to, and they've got gifts for you, and those gifts are doing the things that are uncomfortable and you thinking, oh, I'm doing it for my kids. I feel like I need to do this to show my kids. But it's not so much you showing your kids. It's more so you can work through it so they have done their job, which is part of the reason why they're here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that huge?
Oh, my God. That is so beautiful, and I just really feel that with every cell of my body. Absolutely. That is just – that's amazing. Yeah. I'm speechless.
Sean has no words.
I totally agree that. I do believe, you know, that your children choose you. And Harry was very brave. Harry, there was just no question for him. He was just like, yeah, I'm going in. I'm doing this, you know. He's a water baby. He had, you know, he was just straight in with the breathing thing, just nothing. Like, it's like he was this professional diver, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And he's come out and he goes, how'd you go, Mum? Like, they just know, don't they? Oh, they just know.
They do. I mean, my husband's the same with, like, the water. Like, he dives all of the time. Whenever we get a chance to go somewhere, he's like, yeah, I can go for a dive.
Yeah,
and there's always a part of me, and I don't really want to admit this out loud, but this is the whole point of this podcast, is, like, I've always said I don't dive because, one, claustrophobic, like, even though you're in the open water, like, hearing yourself breathe is a whole situation. Yeah. Having, like, you know, weights on you, weighing you down is a whole situation.
Yeah.
Not being able to get out of the water straight away is a whole situation. Like, once you're in there, you're committed. You can't just, like, swim quickly to the top and get back out. Like, it's a process. And, yeah, it and sharks, obviously, because, you know, Jaws franchise ruined sharks for a lot of people who were born in the 80s and 90s. Like, that just, it was like a whole thing. So, like, as soon as I go, even snorkeling, like, I'll go snorkeling, but I know that I can get out at any point. But, like, and I talked about on a different podcast episode about how my husband and then boyfriend and my brother and dad tricked me into getting into the open water in Borneo when there was two sharks there. And I was like, what are you going to do? So technically I've already swam with sharks and I didn't die.
Yeah, true.
So that's okay. But they were little reef sharks, apparently.
Yeah.
Not great whites. But see, that's the thing. Like, as soon as I go into the water, I hear the durna, 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 durna. Like, that goes through my head every time I go into the water and I can hear myself breathing because of that freaking movie franchise.
Well, I used to hear that music going in a swimming pool as a kid.
Because in Jaws 2, he was in the pool.
Oh, man.
One of the women had a dream that he was in the pool.
Yeah.
And, like, pools, deep pools where I couldn't touch the bottom used to freak me out, even though I could see the bottom and I knew logically – there's no shark in here.
There's no shark in the pool, but you.
Oh. But there was.
There was. Oh, God, it's funny. It's hilarious. Oh, but anyway, I'm just a whole, like, I've gone from being an adventurer, just like nothing standing in my way, to having kids, getting a bit softer, to gone, okay, I need to be really logical about this because I've got two little children to look after.
Yeah.
They started growing up and they started doing adventures and then me going, okay, I'm going to use a soul-aligned excuse now. And, you know, because I hadn't done anything for a while. And now it's just like I'm back on the adventure bandwagon. Like, woo! I wouldn't say that. Like, it's not like I don't do anything. Obviously, we do wild road stuff. There's obviously, like, I'm always looking for adventures. But I'm just like, I don't think I'm going to say no to much, really, because you get so much out of it.
Sean's not going to say no to much. What are some other suggestions about wild things that Shona can do?
Mate, if I'm doing it, you're coming with me.
Oh, that would be an interesting episode for us to do something completely wild.
Wouldn't it? Yeah, let's do that.
Mm. Suggestions welcome?
Yes, absolutely. I definitely want to jump out of a plane. Preferably with a parachute.
That's one that I would like to do, but I'm kind of like,
I'm really scared.
Now that I've had kids, I'm even more like, Before I had kids, I'm like, yeah, I'd do it. But then I never.
And your kids are little too, yeah.
But see, that's the thing. Like, what are the actual odds that something's going to go wrong with the amount of people that go skydiving and the amount of accidents that have actually happened?
Yeah.
Like, what's the actual rate? I don't know the statistics.
No, I don't know that, but
barely heard of anybody, like maybe one or two people that something happened.
Well, they don't have any death by parachute tolls on the news. They don't do that.
I always just think about, when I think about skydiving, I always think about that scene in Point Break, you know, at the end where they jump out of the plane and there's not enough parachutes. And then Johnny Utah has to jump out without a parachute and then he grabs onto them and the guy with the money dies on the way down.
Oh.
Something. But they all survive. But I always think about that. Don't know why. Like you get up there and they're like, oh, sorry, we ran out of parachutes. Okay.
Why is it easier for our minds to quickly go to everything that goes wrong?
Isn't it interesting? It's so fascinating because you're like, but what are the actual odds of that actually happening? Like you've got more chance of being in a car accident than that happening.
Imagine if we could switch it so that we went to straight away everything that could go right. Can you imagine the growth? Like, I mean, this is what personal development's all about. It's turning that. It's switching that. It's switching the mindset. It's switching the energy. But it's actually doing the things to make that happen.
Yeah.
But your human instinct is to go to the what if goes wrong. What if it goes wrong?
What if it goes wrong? Yeah.
That's right. But that's why this is the path that you and I are on. Like we do things that
we don't do stuff normal.
We just don't.
No,
we're not safe anyway.
That's another topic for another day. Is that there's no such thing as safety? Actually,
there actually isn't. There really isn't.
There is not. It's not. Your mind kind of just goes. When you kind of think about it, really, you're like, oh, it actually doesn't exist, yet we put so much emphasis on it.
On safety. It's almost a joke. Let's be safe.
It doesn't exist.
Now we're getting
deep. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Well, that was fun. Thank you for inviting me to talk about that experience because that was bloody fun. And I hope everyone enjoyed the videos because I know they're not attractive, but far out, that was very real. It was raw.
My favourite quote is when you said you're packing pissed.
I don't even know what I say when I'm nervous, when I'm stressed, when I'm anxious. Packing pissed. When did I say that? I don't even remember.
That's the best. I don't know. You're about to go in, I think. Your favourite saying.
Oh, God. Okay.
All right. We'll see you next week.
All right. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye for now. Wild Rose! Wild Rose! Wild Rose!
Wild Rose!